Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
This is Christy, and I'll be reading Permian Proud for February 28, 2024 by Staff Report. The UT Permian Basin football program, the 2023 Lone Star Conference champion, kicked off the spring season this week, which will include 15 practices that will culminate with the annual spring game on Saturday, March 30th, according to UTPB Athletics Brandon Warr. The Falcons will hold one scrimmage prior to the spring game on Thursday, March 7th at 7:15 p.m. All practices, the majority of which will be held every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Saturday this month and next, are open to the public and media, Warr said. See the full schedule below. The Falcons will hold Junior Visit Day on Saturday, March 30th. Head coach Chris McCullough expressed excitement about getting back on the field. All of the work that went into last year's conference championship has to be elevated to another level now, he said. We basically started from scratch in January and are treating everything like we did a year ago. The team's slogan is FAMILY, which stands for Focus, Accountability, Mentality, Inspire, Learn, Love, Yes. Spring schedule, February 27th, Tuesday, 7:15 p.m., February 28th, Wednesday, 7:15 p.m., March 1st, Friday, 3:25 p.m., March 2nd, Saturday, 9:30 a.m., March 5th, Tuesday, 7:15 p.m., March 6th, Wednesday, 7:15 p.m., March 7th, Thursday, 7:15 p.m., scrimmage, March 19th, Tuesday, 7:15 p.m., March 20th, Wednesday, 7:15 p.m., March 22nd, Friday, 3:25 p.m., March 23rd, Saturday, 9:30 a.m., March 26th, Tuesday, 7:15 p.m., March 27th, Wednesday, 7:15 p.m., March 28th, Thursday, 7:15 p.m., March 30th, Saturday, 11 a.m. Sign of the Future, Odessa Breaks Ground on Sports Complex, February 28, 2024, by Staff Report. Tuesday, February 27th, marked the official start of building the Odessa Sports Complex, according to city officials. New city signs now mark the site's future. Among the attendees at a soft groundbreaking ceremony Tuesday were Larry Bell and some of his family members, who donated 100 acres of land valued at more than $5 million for the complex, which would be located on Fodry Road near Yukon Road. The project is set to include an indoor complex with 20 volleyball courts, 10 basketball courts, and a competition track, according to NewsWest 9. Outdoors, there will be 12 multi-use fields for soccer, football, and lacrosse. The complex is expected to open later this year or early next year, the news station reported. The project will be named after Bell's late daughter, Amy, who left behind a legacy of paying it forward and caring for children. Amy was an incredible young woman, Bell said. Even before talks of the complex, Bell knew this land would be used to pay tribute to Amy's legacy. We said to each other, someday, this will be Amy's park, he said. Well, that day is coming very soon. The Bell's land served as a cow pasture and the Bells used to raise herd and brand cattle at the location. Now the land will be used to meet the needs of local youth athletes and provide an economic boost for the city. Odessa Mayor Javier Hoven noted the economic benefits of visitors coming to the complex and also spending their dollars at hotels, gas stations, and restaurants. The city noted the official start of the complex project comes in the recent wake of announcements that Bass Pro Shops and Tracker Boats also plan to open in Odessa. Find this story in audio for blind and low vision adults, 2 p.m. daily, on the Recording Library of West Texas radio station, www.recordinglibrary.org, live stream. Amos Lee to perform free concert with West Texas Symphony, February 27, 2024, by Staff Report. Singer-songwriter Amos Lee will perform a free concert with the West Texas Symphony at the Al G. Langford Chaparral Center at Midland College, MC, on Saturday, March 23rd. It's part of the Phyllis and Bob Cowan Performing Arts Series. Tickets are not required for general admission seating. The show starts at 7:30 p.m. Doors open at 6 p.m. Born in Philadelphia, Lee graduated from the University of South Carolina with an English degree, went on to work as a school teacher and bartender, then pursued a career in music. Since then, he's recorded 8 albums encompassing styles of folk, rock, and soul. His music appeared on the soundtracks of numerous TV shows and movies, and he's also performed as a featured artist on the PBS series Bluegrass Underground. On his most recent album, Dreamland, Lee documents his real-world struggles of alienation, anxiety, loneliness, and despair. "For most of my life, I've walked into rooms thinking, 'I don't belong here,' Lee said. 'I've come to the realization that I'm too comfortable as an isolated person, and I want to reach out more. This record came from my questioning my connections to other people, to myself, to my past, and to the future." Reserve seats are available for Midland College distinguished donors and friends of the series, $1,000 annual donation. For information about these opportunities, contact the Midland College Foundation at 432-685-4526. Find this story and audio for blind and low vision adults 2 p.m. daily on the Recording Library of West Texas radio station, www.recordinglibrary.org livestream. ECISD Children's Center earns highest rating from Texas Workforce Commission, February 27, 2024, by staff report. The Texas Workforce Commission recently gave the Ector County ISD Children's Center at Zavala Elementary a 4-star Texas Rising Star certification, its highest rating. The Texas Star Rising Program certifies licensed child care centers throughout the state on a scale of 2 to 4 stars, with the 4-star rating being the highest designation. ECISD Children's Center currently serves 95 children ages 0 to 5 whose parents are either employees of the school district or are students in the Teen Parent Services Program. There are 23 staff members at the center, according to ECISD. "I am extremely proud of the effort of the staff at the ECISD Child Care Center," said Assistant Superintendent for Student and School Support, Alicia Siverson. The team went the extra mile to meet the criteria and demonstrate to the appraisers they are serving families at a 4-star level. "We are only one of 3 Texas Rising Star 4-star child care centers in this area. We are making an impact." Find this story in audio for blind and low vision adults 2 p.m. daily on the Recording Library of West Texas radio station, www.recordinglibrary.org livestream.
Hello, I'm Jesse. I'm reading from the oil report of the Midland Reporter-Telegram for Saturday, February 24th. Analysts see slower oil production growth amid consolidation. The story was written by Mella McEwen, oil editor. The record-setting pace of Permian Basin mergers and acquisitions reverberates throughout the various industry sectors. East Daily Analytics said this week that the merger of Diamondback and Endeavor signals slower output growth in the Permian Basin, though the combined entity will be one of the largest Permian producers. According to East Daily, Endeavor has operated 13 to 15 rigs consistently in recent years, dropping to 12 rigs in the fourth quarter of 2023. At the same time, Endeavor's crude oil output grew rapidly at a 5-year compounded annual growth rate of 31%, averaging 220,000 barrels a day in 2023. The analyst noted that Diamondback recently updated its production guidance to 470,000 to 480,000 barrels a day in 2025, after the two companies merge, only 1.6% higher at the midpoint than standalone guidance for both Diamondback and Endeavor in 2024. Quote, "Based on the Diamondback guidance, we model the post-merger slowdown could result in about 75,000 barrels a day less oil production by 2025, compared to Endeavor's growth trajectory as a standalone company," wrote East Daily analyst Ryan Smith. East Daly estimates Endeavor would need to run 9 rigs to hold its production flat, and Diamondback will likely lower Endeavor's rig count to maintain current production levels. The company said Endeavor's 12 rigs focused on Enterprise Products Navitas system, 7 rigs, and Targa's West Texas system, 3 rigs, according to its rig allocation data in its Energy Data Studio. A slowdown at Endeavor could impact natural gas volumes on several gathering and processing systems, according to East Daly. The GNP system analysis dashboard in Energy Data Studio shows Enterprise Products Navitas and Energy Transfer's Midland system are the largest gas processors for Endeavor, followed by Targa West Texas and EnLink Midstream's Midland system. East Daly noted last year that amid the consolidations, rig counts have mainly fallen for the acquisition targets, while the acquiring companies have kept their rig numbers mostly steady. The Diamondback Endeavor deal continues a trend of buyouts of private Permian operators by public producers. Permian producers dropped 70 rigs, a decline of 24% over the course of 2023. Chevron opens public CNG fueling station in Midland. The story was written by Mella McEwen, oil editor. Chevron is continuing its focus on cleaner energy with the opening of a public Beyond 6 compressed natural gas fueling station at 9907 East Highway 80. Quote, "We believe the future will be low carbon," Ross Allen, Chevron spokesman, told the Reporter Telegram in a video call. Continuing the quote, "A good society, a society that thrives, has energy that is affordable, that is reliable, but that is also ever cleaner," Allen said. The new station will serve the needs of Detmar Logistics fleet of 70 CNG-powered trucks. In the use of alternative transportation fuels, Allen said Chevron is for all of the above, whether it's electric vehicles, hybrid vehicles, or CNG-powered vehicles. Quote, "We think consumers should have a choice," he said. "Everyone," he continued, quote, "wants to have great power. Everyone wants to have great environmental performance, great emissions performance, great mileage," end quote. He said the company finds consumers are looking for a middle ground, which is why they seem to be turning to hybrid vehicles. "Electric vehicles work well in urban or suburban environments and where homeowners can plug their vehicles in to recharge," he said. "Electric vehicles don't work as well in rural environments or with heavy-duty vehicles," he said. Quote, "For heavy-duty vehicles, diesel works great and is the backbone for heavy-duty vehicles. But as we look for cleaner, lower-carbon fuels, CNG is a great solution, especially for vehicles that stay in the region and don't travel long distances," end quote. Fleets using CNG can have a better economic model for their fuel costs and lower emissions, he said. CNG supplied to the station will be partially linked to Chevron's responsibly produced natural gas. Quote, "We have been very ambitious in our effort to bring responsibly produced natural gas and CNG to the area. Beyond 6 is great in CNG, especially in an area like the Permian Basin with its concentrated truck traffic and demand," Allen said. He added that it also is a great solution for Chevron to market its natural gas production. "The trend toward cleaner transportation fuels is forcing the industry as well as vehicle manufacturers to find ever cleaner answers, he said. Oilfield Veteran offers counsel to incoming professionals. The story was written by Mela McEwen, oil editor. A thriving Permian Basin oil and gas industry is drawing a new generation of oil and gas professionals to the area. One industry veteran who has lived through the region's economic cycles offered some advice to the newcomers. Quote, "A lot of us lived this price curve," said Larry Oldham, founder and former president of Parallel Petroleum and now manager of Oldham Properties and Gateway Royalties. Addressing the Natural Gas Society of the Permian Basin, Oldham said hard times can be a great teacher, but advised avoiding the prophets of doom. Residents are blessed to live in Midland and the Permian Basin with its energy resources. Midland, he noted, ranks 39th in terms of households with high income out of 345 of the nation's largest metropolitan areas. No less than 40 publicly traded exploration and production companies operate in the Permian Basin with a total market capitalization of over $1 trillion. The Permian produces over 6 million barrels of oil a day out of the more than 13 million barrels produced nationwide, 10 billion cubic feet, or about 10% of the 105 TCF produced nationwide, and houses 50% of the drilling rigs operating nationally, he said. Oldham is very enthusiastic about the recently announced agreement between Diamondback Energy and Verde Clean Fuels to build a processing facility to turn Diamondback's natural gas into clean gasoline. Quote, "If it works, it will be transformative like horizontal drilling and multi-stage fracturing," he said. He likened the oil and gas business to farming, saying both require a lot of capital. Both producers and farmers have to learn to manage risk. Both are reliant on supply and demand and commodity prices, and both are subject to government regulations. To be successful, he said, quote, "You have to work with each other, complement each other. You can't be adversarial," end quote. Growing up in a small town, he said he was fortunate to have good mentors, and he offered this final piece of advice to the incoming professionals. Quote, "Don't let no be the defining moment in your career. Learn, be curious, be flexible, be persistent, be passionate, be kind and fair, take risks, don't waste time or energy, embrace change and discipline. This is all about people, about relationships, about treating people right," end quote. Pinnacle sees activity uptick in Midland Basin footprint. The story was written by Mela McEwen, oil editor. Consolidation among Permian Basin oil and gas operators has had an impact on drilling activity, in turn impacting production volumes for midstream companies. Pinnacle Midstream, however, says it is benefiting from those changes. Quote, "We've seen a huge increase in drilling activity on our acreage. We have 11 rigs on our system," Drew Ward, partner and chief commercial officer, reported. Speaking with the reporter Telegram by telephone, Ward explained the Midland Basin, where Pinnacle's Dos Picos system operators has a ton of inventory and running room for our customers. It's great for us to expand, end quote. He continued, quote, "The area we serve and the producers we serve have the best, most coveted acreage. The proof is in turning acreage over to the big guys to develop for the long term." End quote. Since Pinnacle was founded in 2019, he said, quote, "We've had an almost complete turnover in customers. It's been great for us. We've had great customers and high-graded our customers," end quote. That substantial uptick in activity has helped Pinnacle underwrite Phase 2 expansion of Dos Picos, adding compressor stations and a second processing train, according to Ward. When the second phase is fully online, he said it will have 440 million cubic feet in processing and compressing capacity. Quote, "If you look back 24 months, natural gas takeaway was hindered by pinch points. Near term, that's been alleviated by compressor station expansion, so there are no pinch points. We contract our business to take care of those pinch points," Ward said. "There is a shortage of takeaway capacity for natural gas liquids," he said, "with projects underway to alleviate that shortage set to enter service next year." Quote, "Midstream is being more thoughtful in how it spends capital and expands," Ward said. "You won't see huge speculative expansion. Producers and midstream companies are being more thoughtful in how they plan for expansion," end quote. As part of that, he said Pinnacle is being asked to help its customers with planning for volumes, which in turn helps the company plan its capital expenditures. Pinnacle, Ward said, will grow as needed and is always looking for opportunities around its footprint to grow its asset base. Quote, "Our focus right now is the Midland Basin. As we mature, I tell people about our franchise through relationships and opportunities. We will look to expand where it makes sense. If that means another basin, we're happy to expand there. We're always looking for what's next," he said. Here is the Dear Abby column that appeared in the Midland Reporter-Telegram on Thursday, February 29th. Niece's wedding planning charts disturbing course. Dear Abby, my niece, who is engaged, is blossoming into a full-fledged bridezilla. She has upset her mother so deeply that she may not attend the wedding. The bride is dictating what her guests are to wear, in addition to telling her mother what she is to wear that day. She has also ordered my sister to get hair extensions and have her makeup professionally done. The list goes on and on. She brought her girlfriends to a bridal shop and, without asking about a budget, tried on gown after gown with no regard to cost. She fell in love with one that is beyond her mother's budget and demanded, "This is my dress." My sister, wanting to avoid a scene, paid for it. My sister has been excluded from all their wedding planning. The bride is deferring to her father and stepmother, who are paying for most of the wedding. If anyone offers a suggestion or asks a question, it is met with hostility. How do we handle this? My sister feels defeated and is deeply hurt by her daughter's actions. Signed, Aunt of a Monster. Dear Aunt, this production, I hesitate to call it a wedding, has gone so far out of control that there is nothing you or your sister can do about it. Her chance to intervene and inject some sobriety vanished the moment she paid for the bridal gown she couldn't afford. If your sister can't afford hair extensions and a professional makeup job, and possibly a new dress, for her daughter's special day, she should consider coming just as she is and forego being part of the wedding. She should also thank her higher power that she isn't being ordered to fly to Bermuda or Bali in order to participate. Dear Abby, my wife has been neglectful and hateful toward me ever since I was verbally abusive more than 4 years ago. I had fallen into a serious substance addiction about the same time, but I have been clean for more than a year. The addiction was another reason she is hateful toward me and holds a grudge. I understand how addiction affects loved ones and that our relationship is probably over. My problem is we have two very young children and split the mortgage and all other bills 50-50. I cannot afford to live on my own. She can't afford to live alone either. I can't imagine trying to pay child support as well as rent somewhere else, even if I got another full-time job. I have done everything I can to make amends, but there is no hope. We tried counseling. It didn't help. I don't want to abandon the kids, but I don't know what to do. Is there any hope at all? Signed, Low in Ohio. Dear Low, so the abused has become the abuser. Unless your wife is willing to bury the hatchet somewhere other than in you and agree to marriage counseling with a different therapist, I don't think there is hope for the two of you. Ask her if, for the sake of the kids, she is willing to try. But if she refuses, consult an attorney about separating as amicably as possible. Contact Dear Abby at www.dearabby.com or Post Office Box 69440, Los Angeles, California 90069.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.